Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Greetings, citizens of Earth and all beings, both extraterrestrial and interdimensional. My name is Danny Roth, and this is Who Won the Week, Sci-Fi Wire's podcast dedicated to the top stories from the week in Geek. I am joined this week by my co-host, the blurred girl, Karen Mahorn, Adam Swiderski. I don't know. He's doing something.
He's not.
He's
here.
He's somewhere. He's probably, I don't know, like he's saving the day. He's playing the guitar. He's writing something. He's eating his oatmeal. Elsewhere.
We actually shipped him off to a parallel universe. He won't be back for some time.
Whoa. Well, wait a minute. But he can still listen to the podcast because I don't know if you noticed at the beginning of every episode, I say interdimensional. So he can still listen.
Maybe. Depends on where we sent him.
Wow. Well, he's Mr. Negative, so maybe you sent him to like the negative zone or
right.
Phantom Zone or whatever. Anyway, we replaced him with Angelique Roche.
Yes.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
I can never replace Adam.
No, he's very tall.
He is very tall.
Yeah.
There's lots of other differences, too.
Oh, there are?
A couple.
I don't know. I don't.
A few.
As we used to say in the 90s, I don't see differences. You see. That's how you cure all of the ills of the world is you just look at everybody.
Blinders?
That's blinders. That's it. That's the secret.
I don't know. A lot of good things came out of the 90s, but I'm pretty sure that wasn't one of them.
I don't know. That's what my parents taught me growing up, and it was so helpful. I certainly had nothing to unlearn anyway. Hey, folks, a lot of stuff going on this week.
It's been a great week for genre.
Sure.
Yeah.
It has been.
It's been a great week for genre.
Quality week. Today in particular.
And just as a very quality week. It's been a blur. Because all I've been doing is reading, watching, and playing, and consuming things, and running away from reality.
But, you've been doing the horror podcast. So this is really your time to do, Danny.
I guess so.
Yeah, because
every single day you've recorded something.
Spooky time.
At least one a day.
Like
yeah,
31
really
days
fun.
Of horror.
Sometimes people will pick movies that exist within a larger franchise, and then I feel obligated to watch as much of the franchise as possible. Like, I watched all the Wishmaster movies for an episode. That's the right response.
No!
It gets, because the first one's not good. The second one is kind of fun, but then, boy, after that, you can really tell.
So this is a very important question. Have you seen all the Leprechauns?
No, actually, if you really want somebody to give you the lowdown on the Leprechaun,
it freaks me out, to be very honest. The Leprechaun,
really?
Like, I like horror movies, but only like children's horror movies. Like, they have to be like cute, like Goosebumps, House with a Clock on the Wall.
Yeah, I can do those.
Like,
I can do those.
It has to be like that kind of stuff, like Nightmare, like, I can't do like anything that could actually happen to a real life person, like skin being lopped off, axe murderers, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Or like tiny little leprechauns coming to life. It's just,
wow.
It can't.
Wow.
No.
Yeah, see,
or like
I don't,
tooth fairy witches, like all that stuff kind of freaks me out.
I mean, I know for a fact that Jennifer Aniston's in the first one. That I know.
Okay.
And then what's the other
thing?
I do
enjoy Jennifer Aniston.
And then, I just know the Wayne's World stuff where, you know, like, Wayne's like, I'm the leprechaun. Like, that's it. That's what I know. I never really watch those movies, but my friend Allison Pregler, who does a YouTube series called Movie Nights, is going to be doing, I think, like a whole big thing about Leprechaun.
For some reason, it just creeps me out.
Everybody's got their thing. You know?
Everybody does. I think my sisters jacked me up with Freddy when I was a kid.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, what we'll do is we'll just occasionally name creepy movies for Karima to not watch.
I told you, I'll listen to them.
Yeah.
I'll listen
like a podcast.
To them.
Okay, you're worse than me, dude.
I will listen to them just like I can.
I will at least go. I've been listening through it.
I've been listening to lore. I'm fascinated by lore. Watching it.
Lore, huh? You mean like Data's evil brother, Lore?
No, like Lore.
Lore, the podcast.
Lore on with. Listen.
Yeah.
Lore with Adam Menke, who talks like this. as he describes all the horrible.
Is that how? Wait, is that how you're supposed to do this?
No, I'm no. pretty. I'm pretty sure that's not.
It's not.
And how actually, you're supposed to do
this season, you don't hear his voice.
I do the. I do the radio voice for a podcast, but only at the beginning.
Oh, Angelique has very good radio voice. I'm horrible at it.
Thank you.
When you do the radio voice, where you're like,
yeah, I have. Everyone's trying to work me out of my radio voice. So.
Oh yeah.
But I like my radio voice.
Her radio voice is very soothing. It's okay. It's almost like ASMR. It's very soothing.
I could do smooth jams. Smooth jams.
Yeah, I have thoughts about ASMR, but this is not the podcast for that.
We should be talking about zombies and vampires and witches today.
Oh yeah, we could talk about that stuff. What else is?
And I love zombies.
That's the thing that you will see. Adam's not here. I think that's why you got a little stuck. Because normally,
he'll be like, "Hey, we guys, let's talk. Let's stay on topic, guys." Hey,
and then every
this
week
is my Adam impression.
And
come
every
on,
week,
you guys.
Okay,
so
I'm supposed to be Adam.
I'm sorry, I got to get this right. So stay on topic, guys.
All right,
guys,
good work.
How do we start off the show, Danny?
Lots to talk about. There's your Doctor Who's, there's your Castlevania's, there's your Sabrina Teenage Witch. Got a couple news items. Teen Titans thing, Star Trek thing. There's some animation news, I guess, is what
a
I'm
lot
getting
of
at.
Yeah.
But first, we do a thing at the top of every show where we talk about things that we're personally geeking out about. And
do we though?
So here's the thing. Typically, what happens is if Adam's around, I'll say we've done it for 150 whatever episodes.
This is 151.
And this is 151. Should we keep doing it? I don't know if it's really gelling. I'm never really sure.
And then Adam pretends that he doesn't know. He thinks on it, and it's like a really big, important decision for
him
to make.
That's what I'm saying. Like, must we? I'm trying to be Adam over here. You're ruining this for
Sorry.
Me. Must we? Should we? I mean, just because we've done it before, do we have to do it again?
I think we should. In lieu of replacing it with something different, if you come up with something better, we can do that. But for right now, we're just going to have to toe the line.
I'm giving my best Adam stern face impersonation right now.
You're terrible at it.
I'm so bad. I told you, I'm not Adam. But
I mean,
it's totally
fine. Nobody can see because it's a podcast, audio based thing. But you are a terrible Adam.
So bad at it.
I'm sorry.
Adam.
To report.
I really tried.
I mean, there's only one Adam Swiderski. That's the reality.
But what are you geeking about?
What am I? Wow. Are we going to start with me?
Yeah.
That's never
happened. Look at that. So we doing something new because Adam's not here.
Yeah. Take that, Swiderski.
It's upside down world.
Whoo. You know what? I finally got around to, I'm not done yet, but I'm close to done with The Haunting of Hill House. So I have no time for anything anymore, but I made the time to watch that because it's real good. Have you watched any of it? No?
If it doesn't involve zombies or vampires, I'm generally not.
So I did watch a little of it,
and... It's only because my boyfriend loves it and all these people all of a sudden were live tweeting it a couple days ago. So I was like, what is all the fuss? Go downstairs, take a look. And I'm like, okay, yeah, this is extremely creepy. It's funny because everybody's like, oh, if you can watch The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, you can watch this. And
nope,
I'm like,
I don't think so.
Chilling
Adventures of Sabrina is just creepy and kooky enough and just into the occult enough, and we'll get into that later, that I love it.
Yeah, this is not, no, that's what I'm going to say. Yeah. Like, what I mean, saw, this
got
is not
the,
that
got,
thing.
It's got the YA vibes, you know what I mean? Like,
I was very, 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 very scared.
Whereas The Haunting of Hill House is, that is some adult scares. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is scary for adults. Like, there's a whole, like, it is existential and sad and scary.
All of the children, and I have not watched this, so I have no proof of this, but somebody told me that all of the children represent the five stages of grief.
Oh, yeah. That's why nobody likes Steve, because Steve represents denial, okay. And that's annoying.
It is.
Got him. Yeah, nobody likes Steve, and that's why.
Annoying like the son on The Strain annoying?
Wait a minute. How do you have opinions about The Strain? How is that possible?
Because The Strain doesn't scare me like the other ones do.
Oh.
Because you know why?
I'm okay with The Strain.
And I'll tell you why. Because the Strigoi look exactly like the vampires from Blade 3.
Oh, okay.
I've seen that before.
The Bad Blade, okay.
Yeah, the Bad Blade.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. First of all, Blade 2 was not the Bad Blade?
No, Blade 3 was the Bad Blade.
Blade 3, it's
where
art.
They wrote him out of the script because they were so pissed off at Wesley Snipes. Yeah.
You know what? So I got to say, Blade 2 wasn't bad, mostly because the guy who plays Cat from Red Dwarf is in it, and it makes me very happy.
Oh, okay.
Also, the guy from The Walking Dead.
I'm
kind of a fan. I'm a fan follower type person. Like, if there's somebody I like in the movie, then I'll at least give it a chance.
I like Blade 2, except for the...
The baddies were just gross, man.
I mean, I guess. I don't know. My critique of that movie was just that, like, they were like, was there a black woman in this?
And then she was gone. No, but
and the thing is, the whole rest of the movie is tainted by that. Like, you see it everywhere. Like, the rest of the movie is really impacted by the fact that they did that. That's always the problem.
Ryan Reynolds had more lines than...
Adam Siderski, both of you. Karma!
Oh, wow.
What are you geeking out this week?
Wait. Were you done? Were you done with the...
Yes. I'm pulling him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I like that show.
Like I'm yanking
and,
you.
Yes.
Oh, and watch a James Caan movie. He died this week, and he's in, like, every horror movie, so please check out. Watch, like, Return of the Living Dead or Return of the Living Dead 2 or Invaders from Mars or...
I love how much you know about... Like, it just makes me so happy hearing you talk about horror, even though I'm never going to watch these movies.
Oh, you should watch some of them. Some of them are great. Return of the Living Dead is a dynamite movie.
I mean, it's a zombie movie, so I'm going to watch
You like Poltergeist? He's at the very end of Poltergeist.
Do you not see the look on my face?
Okay.
I can't.
Whoa. Poltergeist is like one of my top five favorite movies.
And I've seen all of them. I have seen every single one of the Poltergeist movies.
Okay. So you're just not going to see them again?
No.
Wow. All right. Do you remember like at the end when the bodies are coming up out of the ground?
Yep.
There's
seared into my memory.
There's the dude's boss.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you moved the gravestones, but you left the bodies, didn't you?
I'm literally cringing right now because I remember this so vividly.
Yeah. So the guy that he's yelling at.
Oh.
That's the dude. That's my guy right there.
Aww.
Anyway, some of us grew up in New Jersey, and so you would also remember James Caan from the Pathmark commercials.
Wait, did both of you guys?
He was the Pathmark commercial guy.
Well, I knew you grew up in Jersey.
I can't believe that's the Pathmark guy.
Yeah, he's the Pathmark guy. Anyway, he was in a billion things. If you watch any TV show long enough, he's like showed up in Cheers.
That's true.
I was rewatching Murphy Brown.
He was
in an episode of that. Yeah,
he would take off his glasses, and it was like he was going incognito.
Yeah, no, he would show up in everything. It's amazing. Like if you go through his, like a lot of people that do a lot of B movies, you just reach a point in your life where like. You know how to memorize lines real quick. You have an aptitude for stuff. Yeah. And by doing B movies, you get very comfortable, I think, with the process of having to work very quickly. So, and also understanding how to hurry up and wait. And I think so James Caan was just one of those guys. And he was a nice person too, you know. Aww. So like it's the blending of all those things. So anyway,
we will have to watch some
James Caan movies. I mean, like, listen, I don't want to make it tragic. The man lived to 94. That's a good life.
Are you gonna give us a list later on Twitter of movies we should go see?
Sure. I mean, I gave some of them right now, but I can give you a longer list. Yeah, I mean, James Caan is really great. Don't mourn him, celebrate him. It was a really incredible talent and he's still, I mean, he was working like right up to the last minute, so there's some stuff that I don't even think has come out yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, an amazing, amazing, amazing human being. Anyway, that's it. Garima.
I took the
control back.
High five. I was only volleying. I'm not trying to have control of this. This is not my show. I'm a guest.
Oh, no, we're just no, honestly, this is normal conversation. Wait, who's on first? This is normal. The I'm geeking out over...
Speaking of Abbott.
I'm geeking out over... interview that I got to have this week with Adi Shankar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I met him literally just walking through the press area of New York Comic Con. And I stopped him because from behind, at first, I didn't know it was him. I saw this guy with this amazing leather jacket on that had painted like words and stuff on it. And I was like, oh my God, that's a great jacket. And he turned around and I'm like, oh my God, Adi Shankar. And we struck up a conversation. And then I asked him, like, listen, but it's like the last day of the con, but I would love to talk to you. And he granted me that interview this week. And for those of you who don't know, he's one of the executive producers and sort of the brainchild behind Castlevania, which we will talk about today. But he's also done, it's really funny because he's produced a lot of dramas that you've seen. Like he produced the Dredd movie that came out, the Judge Dredd, not with Stallone, but with, what's his name? He played Bones on Star Trek.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
And he also
he was on Xena.
He also produced The Gray, and with
with Mr. Liam
with
Neeson.
Liam Neeson and Frank Grillo, and that ending that just didn't make any sense. And
tell me how you really feel about it.
It was a good movie, but I just thought the ending didn't make any sense.
The tea is hot today for this movie from a very long time ago. Who knew?
But I think most people know, like most people now know him because he's been in the game a minute. Most people now know him from his what he called his bootleg universe, which are these one-shot films. So I think the one that is my favorite that I think is might be the most popular is the Power Rangers one, which I like calling Power Rangers Dark. And it was amazing where they got James Vanderbeek. He got Katie Sackhoff, otherwise known as Starbuck, from the last Battlestar Galactica, to be the Pink Ranger. And it's like this deep, dark thing, and they're killing each other, and they're jacking each other up, and there's a mole in their ranks. It's amazing. And it's a short film. He also did, it's actually the first one of his series was The Punisher Dirty Laundry.
Oh, yeah,
he went back and got Thomas Jane, who was in The Punisher that Lexi Alexander directed, and did another short film based on that. It all takes place like outside of a laundromat. That's what's great about the stuff that Adi Shankar does. It's always one or two locations, but this whole deep backstory, and he never explains the backstory. It's all about, if you are a fan of this genre or of this particular storyline, you'll know all of the little things that I'm giving you. Venom, Truth and Journalism. He did another Judge Dredd based on the film he did called Super Fiend. He also did James Bond in Service of Nothing, and his latest, which came out this year, Mr. Rogers, a War Hero. And it's basically a what if scenario based on
that
real Fred Rogers served in the Vietnam War and things like that. So it's sort of like, what if Mr. Rogers was actually an action hero? So he's got some really, really amazing stuff, and he's also a big, huge geek. So it was fascinating talking to him because, one, he's really, really humble. Two, he's very much an artist, like at that Erykah Badu way, like I'm an artist and I want you to look at my stuff, but be nice because I'm sensitive about my shit. Like, he's very, very like, don't hurt me. Yes, and it's kind of surreal for him. When we finished talking to him, when I was standing talking to him at New York Comic Con, it's sort of, I don't want to say it was a crowd, but by the end of the conversation, there were significantly more people standing there around talking with him than there were in the beginning. And he said that was kind of surreal for him because up until a couple of years ago, people would just kind of look at him as this crazy Indian dude with a weird eyeliner. But I look at him, I personally look at Adi Shankar a lot like I look at Robert Rodriguez, who years ago said, I'm not going to shoot film anymore, I'm going to shoot digital. And everybody was like, what? Nobody's doing that. Digital isn't going to go anywhere. And then he literally, a lot of people don't know this, but the tech and the gear that he created in basically the part of the Desperado trilogy, really ushered in a lot of how digital filmmaking is done now. And that's one of the reasons why James Cameron actually wanted to work with him on Alita Battle Angel, because he was like, you're a visionary just like I am. We invent stuff. I mean, think what you want about Cameron, but The Abyss, like...
I will.
No, I'm just saying Abyss, which was not critically... It was not critically acclaimed, but I thought The Abyss was wonderful. And he literally invented stuff. He invented cameras and lenses to shoot some of that stuff, just like some stuff was invented. Beautiful. So... Adi Shankar has kind of done that in the digital world. And I just think, also, I'm sorry, he made Alucard look like a hottie. So I just needed to know where all that came from.
So we see exactly what you actually meant.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, like, long, long conversation
good
that
talk
we had.
About someone being
just
a hottie.
To get to that.
Alucard is just a hottie.
And sometimes it's just, you know, priorities.
But honestly, it's really funny because I think I'll leave it with this. It's funny because his stardom, quote unquote, came late. And also he also talked a little bit about having some insecurities about being an immigrant and an immigrant geek and thinking that he was out, like, who's going to like anything I do, and some insecurities about that, when in actuality, he's just... is brilliant. And it's been hard for him to accept that because he's so used to people looking at him through this weird alternative lens, and as opposed to just being able to think about his art and just do his art. So that, even though we talked about what he's done, I thought it was a fascinating conversation about his backstory and how it sometimes you just have to go out there and do what you do and do it well and not give a crap what anybody else things, because you'll never get past it. Sometimes that, what do they call it? Imposter syndrome is debilitating, and you have to get past that.
Man, thank goodness nobody in this room has that.
Nope. I don't know what you're talking about.
Huh?
What? Angelique, What are you geeking out about?
Yeah, segue to me right then. Thanks so much, Karma. You know what, ma'am? No, seriously, there's a lot of things I'm geeking out right now about, but I have been talking about this at length for probably the last 2 weeks. So I will again say how much I am in love with all the covers that are coming out from Sam Spratt on the Shuri
Sam Spratt's
comic
amazing.
Book. Like, look, I love Nnedi Okorafor. I think the first issue of Shuri was great. I'm looking forward to a lot of it. She's got nano wings. It's amazing. She's a teenager, but she's not. And she's, you know, at the end of it, it's like a nice little cliffhanger at the book. But I want every single cover that Sam has done blown up
as
a painting signed on the walls of my home.
Yeah.
They are gorgeous and detail oriented. And the amount of time and intention that's gone in with both the penciler, with the pencilers and the illustrators, and with Sam and the painting of the covers on, and as a woman who has braids and as a woman of color, like, I've never seen. Normally, people are really lazy when it comes to black women's hair, when it comes to comic books and graphic novels. Just to be very clear, someone who is not a...
Vixen.
I wasn't going to name no names. And generally, what
Wolverine
happens is...
Wolverine in the front and Party in the back.
And what happened was... And normally, black women will be given straight hair because it is easier
to draw.
It is something that's within the experience of the illustrator and the colorists and how it looks and how it flows and giving it depth and dimension. But, yo, Shuri's box braids are so
are
on point. And it's such a huge difference between being able to say there's a character of color in a comic book and saying there is a character of color that I see myself in. Like, yo, she's got baby hairs, son. Like, that are laid down and curled, obviously, with gel on these covers. And it flows and it functions. And there was actually, and a lot of folks probably don't know this, like, there was a lot of time and research. There was a lot of videos that was watched. There was a lot of questions that were asked.
Clearly, he stayed on Instagram.
Yeah, and I stay... How you think I stay on Instagram
exactly,
for my hair?
Exactly.
So if you haven't checked out the covers, they're all over his Instagram. The new cover is out right now. I am probably going to be tweeting a lot of them out as soon as, you know, I think they're up to number 4 is out with the covers. The fourth cover is just duh.
I have to go check that out.
I want somebody to do her. I want her sneakers real bad.
Oh, yeah. Her sneakers real bad. And it's interesting because Marvel really should get on that. Or Vans. You know how Marvel had that thing going with Vans?
I need this to be a collab with Nike. I just feel like, Shuri right now would be on the Nike train. I need, because they look a little bit like Nike boots.
They do.
They're like a Wakanda special, and I'm totally here for it. But yeah, I'm fiending for the next cover to come out, and I'm really excited about it. And I think it's, you feel like it's a strong representation. She's not thin, and it feels good. It feels good. So I'm totally geeked out about this. And I was definitely called out for, like, putting out the fourth cover before the first issue came out the other day because people were all excited. They thought it was the first cover and
it
wasn't.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And I was like, man, I'm sorry, but the fourth cover is real hot.
Yeah, no, I did see that. People are like,
mad,
I can't buy that. Why?
If you mad, say you mad. I'm sorry. It comes out in, like, what, 3 months? Yeah.
That's no, but I mean, I've seen all of them, and I actually have complimented Sam online because they're absolutely gorgeous.
The one with Groot is also real dope. So if you haven't checked it out, there's one with Groot and
Scotty Young has done some too.
Yeah, so the variant covers are going to be real dope. I think there's at least three to five different variant, like, there's like a several variant artists who are involved in this whole situation. And I'm having so many copies of this comic. It's going to be great. So that's what I'm geeking out about. Oh, and N.K. Jemisin edited the best short stories, sci-fi short stories of 2018, and
oh,
I just bought it.
And Roxane Gay did the Best American Short Stories for 2018.
Oh, we need the link to that.
Yeah, I got both of those last weekend, and I'm delving into them. I'm ready. I was like, I was reading the first couple paragraphs of the first story last night, and it was so funny because I'd gotten so into it that I dropped the remote control and I like jumped. Because I'm really excited about jumping into that as well.
Cool. I just looked up what Sam Spratt looks like, not what I was expecting.
Exactly. That's why I'm so geeked out about it, because
Wait, what did you think he was?
I mean, I guess I had no assumptions, you know what I mean? But like, yeah, you don't
now
really
I gotta look.
I just, here's the thing, like, it is, I mean, like, I don't feel like I, you know, I'm not an artist, but like, you know, as a person who's white, I probably would not have spent a lot of time thinking like what's the right way to do that, you know? So I mean like maybe I shouldn't like be like patting him on the back for a thing he just should have done, but like he did it and it looks great.
No, but he's also just a great artist. Like if you look down his Instagram, like Sam is a really, really good artist, and his renderings of people in a very authentic way that does not compromise who they are as a person, representation based on race, background, ethnicity, style, cultural significance and work as rappers and comedians is actually really pretty dope. And I delved into it a lot because of the covers from Shuri.
Yeah, and also I think I did something similar because I was curious as to the different artists that they were using for this. And yeah. And he's done some amazing work across the board, and he's also always had diverse subjects. But the thing that's really, really funny, though, is that his covers are so amazing, and I don't want to take anything away from the interior artists. I don't. But for people I was saying this last week, who are new to comics, some of them have been like, wait, why doesn't the inside look like the outside? It's like, because he's a cover artist.
He's a cover it's artist. Different. He's not the penciler. He's not the colorist. He's not working on the panels.
Who are
lettering.
Doing an amazing job.
No, they are doing a great, amazing job. But I think that's one of the things that I love about working in the work that I do is I've had a chance, and I actually just sat down with Chris Anka and talked about this, because Chris initially worked in animation and wanted to only do cover art, and then was eventually convinced to do panel work, and has been doing a magnificent job on Runaways and the panel work, because Runaways, obviously I don't have to tell the people in this room, but for those who have not read Runaways, it is one of the most diverse collection of a superhero team ever.
And a dinosaur.
I love Old Lace so much. The bestest dinosaur in the whole wide world from the future. So when you it's interesting, like the different layers, right? Because sometimes Chris may just do the cover, and sometimes Chris is doing every single panel. But there's a team that goes into making each one of these issues.
Yeah. I was trying to find a print to buy you, and I had no luck.
Ah, so we're going to, we'll make that happen.
I mean, I found
like
a folded up poster, but that's not the same.
So that's what we're geeking out about.
Yeah, wow, we did it.
We did it.
We really did that.
We did a thing.
We did it. Hey, so we talked about the we were talking about that Shuri for a while, and now we're going to talk about Doctor Who. Well, here we go. All right. So,
well, to preface it,
yeah, So, they put out an episode on Sunday.
It's the third episode.
Third episode of the new series,
which I love.
You like the new series?
I do like the new series. So I do like Jodie.
The week prior to that, they put out a preview. No, I have really been paying no attention because I didn't want to know stuff until stuff was going out. So they did a preview, and they were like Rosa Parks, and I was like,
okay,
all right, British show, gonna do some Rosa Parks time travel storytelling. Not sure about that at all. And honestly, leading all the way up, like genuinely, that Sunday before it aired, frequent guests of the podcast, or certainly of podcasts that I do, Vita Ayala, was in my home, and we had a very brief conversation wherein they were like, I will not be watching that. I would not be courageous enough to write that. I don't think they should be doing that. And I got a lot of, I'm not really sure about that.
Which is interesting, because it's not the first time Doctor Who has put itself inside of American history. No. Obviously, we had the space race timeline when it came to the impossible astronaut.
And Nixon.
And the whole, you know, domestic partnerships idea and racism idea-ish that they tried to put in there.
Ish.
Yeah, like 5 seconds of...
Adjacent.
And yeah, I think this was...
homophobia, racism. And
yeah.
This was an attempt to a much more bold... articulation. It's a big of racism. I mean,
like here's the thing. Like, I'm not, you know, they have done things that are good. I thought they did a very good job with Vincent van Gogh and dealing with depression that included suicidal ideation. I do think they did a pretty good job with that. But you know, depression, that's a thing that happens the world over. And while racism is everywhere,
especially also in UK, I mean,
for sure. But to me, there is, it's like when Sam Jackson was like, Get Out is great and everything. But like, fundamentally, there's a, you know, I mean, like you put Daniel Kaluuya in the spot and it's like, he's great. But like, is he fundamentally going to portray this differently because he hasn't experienced America's brand of racism, which is its own. I mean, like, listen, I think Sam Jackson raised a valuable point, and it's the same thing here. It's a British show that is going to come in, and like, yes, it's great. Mallory Blackman, who is the first black writer that Doctor Who's ever had, great. Took over 50 years to get there, but at least we did, I guess. But
they
like,
did a thing.
They did do that thing that they should have probably did a while ago. But yeah, I mean, I was very nervous to watch it because Rosa Parks, kind of an important figure in American history.
A little bit.
To say the least, you know, and knowing that, you know, this is a show that is going to get like about 50 minutes worth of time, and it's a show about time travel, and very frequently they go in and have a profound influence on the people that they visit. I said, I do not want Doctor Who to be teaching a lesson to Rosa Parks. That was the thing that I was most afraid of.
Yeah, and in the end, and just to preface it, then we can get into what we think about like what actually happened. The short version of the plot, minor spoilers, they time travel because as the TARDIS is wont to do, TARDIS takes the doctor where things need to be fixed. Something needs to be fixed because there is another, not Time Lord, but time traveling individual who is set out to stop, not necessarily to hurt Rosa, but to basically stop the whole sit down from happening. Because for all intents and purposes, they are basically an alt-right racist ex-con from the future.
Yeah. And so as for reference for those who have been watching the show, he basically has the same kind of vortex time traveling manipulator that Jack Harkness has.
Yeah. And that river also has at some point.
Right. It's like it's time travel, but it's quick and nasty.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got that. And he's also from the same prison that river is stuck in.
Right.
And yeah, so that's those are some things. And yes, the plot is that they're going to show up and try and prevent this guy from preventing
Rosa Parks changing the past.
Yeah, from changing the past.
And the reason he wants to change the past, and it is actually said in the show, is that he doesn't want, quote unquote, you people to rise from your station, more or less. And it is very clear that there is a racial motivation to keep people of color from getting equal rights. And he has become abnormally and insanely fixated at this one point in time in civil rights history, right? So I think that that's one of the weird things to me and why I'm okay with the villain. And there are other parts of the episode that I kind of take issue with. But the villain of itself is just an insanely, criminally insane dude who has decided to blame his situation on someone else. We don't know all his backstory. We may find out more of his backstory later in the series, as Doctor Who is apt to do, because he was not killed. He was sent far, 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 far back in time.
Well, no. He sent himself back in time. What they did basically was...
No, Ryan sent him back.
Ryan sent him back.
Spoilers. Yeah, no, I'm talking about how he got there. Like, he basically... It's clear that he killed thousands of people in some type of...
But we don't know
attempt.
Any of his background or right. what planet he's from or why he did it.
That's
or
true, but
what it was.
He was in the same prison as River Song, and he was given a brain implant
That blocks him from killing anybody and
exactly.
harming anybody.
So he's just decided to be a manipulator.
Right. And he's become abnormally fixated because he is criminally insane. And I get that. It could have been any point in history. The writers chose this point in history because much like people who do get abnormally affixed to something and obsessed with something and become stalkers and criminally insane, they've picked this one thing and they just they drone down on it. And I get that. I think there are parts of it, though, that as a person who grew up in the South, and I know folks will have a different opinion because it's a British show versus a U.S. show. You have a worldwide audience. If you are going to do Rosa Parks, don't just talk about the fact that she was a seamstress. Okay. And don't have three people at a civil rights meeting the night before this happens. Like right. there's other things
there is
that
proof
I feel
that there was a full meeting and there was that she was trained and everything like that.
And that she worked for the NAACP for years investigating rape cases in the South. So there are other things that I feel like they downplayed hard that they at least could have mentioned
dialogue. And I understand why and I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing. But, and this is only, this is the side of my family that is not from this country that speaks just like Ryan did in the show. That was like, Rosa Parks, yeah, she was the woman who wrote, right, she drove the bus, right. And to us as African Americans, we're appalled. Like, you have no idea.
No, but I'm okay with Ryan. I think Ryan was appropriate.
I'm not talking about Ryan and what he said. I'm just saying that mental thinking around it. I feel like many times British shows, and Doctor Who has done this before, we just mentioned a couple of the shows, they will pick and choose people from American history to highlight a particular place and time and story and things like that. And I think they did that. I agree. They should have taken the time. They should have put more backstory into her. But they didn't, because I really don't think on the British end of things, they're not looking at it like we're looking at it. They're not looking at it from that perspective. They're saying, this is important. We should talk about it from this perspective. And Rosa Parks is important. We don't have to get into all the details.
But it's an educational show and they miss an opportunity to educate. And I think Ryan plays a part. I think that mentality plays a part. But I think when you have a worldwide audience and when a good amount of your audience is in the States and when you have this as a market that you were focused for, take it up one notch. Just one. I'm not saying give a whole back history. But Rosa Parks wasn't just a seamstress. And there's nothing wrong with being a seamstress. Both my grandmothers were master seamstresses. I think that's a great thing. But also,
I also think, though, Doctor Who still has a lot more international fans than they have U.S. fans. They've got a lot of U.S. fans.
And I get it. But even with Nixon, they did not ignore the fact that Nixon was tricky dicky at the end. Like, there's true. Just certain, there's certain facts that need to just weave it in. Like, look, me and you had this conversation about Vignette's accent. I can get over that. Look, moments.
Before we get to her accent, I also just want to point out that so far for me, this season of Doctor Who is not treating the black women very well, period. So that's just to me, because I'm still pissed off that Nan is not alive. But that's just me. So with that end, I'm sort of putting in this framework. I don't think... When I sat down to look at this, just like Danny, you said, Vita was like, I'm not going to watch it. I don't think they're going to do it right. I kind of sat down with that. I wanted to watch it, but my expectations for this episode were quite low. I was not going into this thinking that they were going to do a good job with Rose's writing. I did not think her accent would be as bad as it was.
Yo, and it's not that it was just bad, right?
It was inconsistent.
So I think Vignette is an actually really good actor, and I love... the stuff that she did in Sherlock. I think she had moments of strength in the show. I think there were certain parts when I was like, bae, y'all should have taken one more take or done a voiceover or something. Give me
or just
a track.
Giving her coach.
Because literally you could hear the word just get lost.
Yeah.
And for so many British actors who are so good at a Southern accent,
including the baddie.
like everyone else who had a British accent on the show. I mean, everyone
American accent on the show, yeah,
was great.
Yeah,
like and I don't want to like pick on her as a thing, but I'm also Yorosa.
Yeah,
it was weird, but I do think that her presence and her she worked very hard to be the type of movement, the type of way she carried herself was really great. I also think, you know, they did just enough good racism in there. And they didn't shy away from it, which
not
to applaud them for it, but I think.
But that's what you're supposed. That's the truth. That's the reality. I mean, the thing,
and
that
that's
I,
not yeah. e- and that's not easy. And there have been times when I've looked at Doctor Who and be like, y'all just really, y'all gonna go back to old Victorian times and there's not gonna be race. Oh, you're just gonna have a black woman. Oh, okay, cool.
I mean, sure. I mean, look, this is what this was the thing that I appreciated most of all was not the the historical accuracy. The thing that I liked was, you know, I grew up on Star Trek and I don't want to take this away from Star Trek. It's very nice and it's very sweet and very ideal that we that we get to the 24th century and everybody's cool. But
right, there's no more sickness.
But I mean, everybody's cool.
No, but this is why
the eugenics war first. So.
But the truth of it is, I really liked that they did not pretend that this dude who was from who even knows how far in the future, still hated black people.
Racism still exists.
Like that, we didn't act like one day. So, because this is like the worst thing. This is like whenever someone tries to appropriate something, they go, "Oh, well, I hope that one day, I'd like to think that one day this won't be an issue. This will forever, always." I'm like, I wish I grew up in Star Trek. I wish I could say like, "Oh yeah, ideally we're going to reach the point." No, it's always like it's in our history. You know what I mean? Like, and people will try and pretend. People try to act. When I was growing up in the 1980s. People taught me the civil rights movement like it happened a million years ago instead of yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, and like, and it's very odd when you, and it's like, I get it. And Star Trek has its place, but I liked that this episode said, you can go real far in the future, but that dude is still going to be there.
Yeah.
I think that's valid. I think it's important to tell that kind of story too.
I think it is too. And I think that utopia that everybody thinks that they're working towards.
It's great. It might happen, but also
it might not.
It might not. I mean, and like, yeah, I don't know. We can travel pretty far. I mean, I don't have a time machine. I can't actually tell you, but like, yeah, my gut tells me that no matter how far you travel, there's always going to be at least.
There's going to be that one person.
There's always going to be at least a couple of those. Like, that's reality. And I like that. And I, my real fear, my deep down biggest fear was that they were going to teach Rosa. Not the other way around, because they often do that where like they meet a figure and like that figure feels better because of a thing that they did or like well, they tell like, them
Van Gogh or Lady Pompadour.
Van Gogh was like that. And then I was scared
and then
of that
didn't
too.
Really work.
But I also think it was very, very interesting with Graham, how when he was standing on the bus, it dawned on him that he was the guy. He's like, wait, I don't want to be the person. And she's like, we cannot get off this bus because it has to be full and you cannot sit down. And it dawned on him that because he was standing, that was why the bus driver turned around. And he was like, I don't want to be this guy.
Yeah. He didn't want to be the guy.
But it was, so I think that part was dealt with well. I don't think I agree with you, Angelique, though. They did not handle the character of Rosa Parks well. But my expectations were lower. I don't know. Maybe I'm just jaded. I just didn't think they would.
No, mine were in the toilet.
My expectations are always going to be really high when it comes to Doctor Who, guys. Yeah. Sorry. That's why I that whole last episode with Pearl Mackey. Never going to get over it.
Yeah.
Never going to get over it.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it was 2 seconds from, do I need to give you a spanking? Like, it was a lot.
I don't really know what to say because...
Wait, when the
episode?
The Christmas episode is different than the last time we saw her.
Because that's not really her.
Well, we see, yeah.
That's true.
Not really her. That's not really her.
Now,
my beef with that is entirely different. It's because, you know, they brought in Bill and they were like, oh, we're going to do the Cyberman story. We're going to horrifically destroy her body. And I was like, you know what? I'll tell you, I'm not a completely on its face against trying to tell a story like that, but literally the last brown person that we had on as a regular for the show, you did the literally the exactly. same thing.
Exactly.
I didn't need it twice.
Let me tell you right now, I get it. We're not going to have Daleks, but if Ryan ends up being a Cyberman,
oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Done.
Yeah,
I mean, I there's not going to be any anything this first year, but after year two, you know,
wait, but
one more
not
black
be,
person becomes
listen,
a Cyberman.
Yeah, that's
listen,
a problem.
But they might not turn into a Cyberman. They might do something else with him.
I think he's.
They
just
might
gonna,
find another alien.
I think they'll just leave.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think she's losing any companions. That's my. I mean, I know the last they said. What out of my head already? Amanda, who plays Yasmin, was like, I don't know if I'm coming back for another year because we haven't discussed that yet. Now,
oh,
I don't
really?
Know if that's true or not,
oh,
but
wow.
like the last discussion on it in a public space was that, yeah, there's nothing. There's no topic about who's coming back and who's not for another year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, there was a lot of other. Here's the thing. Even if you're not that happy with Doctor Who, or if you are, there's still other things that you can watch. Like Castlevania.
Oh, okay. All right. There you go. We can talk about it.
I'm very excited about Castlevania, not just because Alucard is gorgeous.
Y'all, she's under like you're actually you don't get how excited she is. She has been talking about this all morning.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm drinking an orange drink, but do you know what kind of orange drink it is?
Blood
it's
orange.
A blood orange. That's actually not the reason, but I just figured I'd bring it up.
Adam, where are you? I miss you so much.
So they dropped
season two.
They dropped season two, and they dropped season two this morning. So basically, I am running on so much caffeine right now because I got up to watch both Sabrina and Castlevania.
And Castlevania.
And I got through 3 episodes of Sabrina and 4 episodes of Castlevania.
She's a little wired.
Love it.
You made a commitment.
So
I did.
And
I got real committed to Sabrina, so I'm just going to sit back for this conversation.
But Castlevania, now, did either one of you guys watch season one? I don't remember.
I watched the first season.
Okay. So, for those of
only
you who don't
know.
Only
3 episodes. Just 3 episodes. It was good for me because it was not a big commitment.
For those of you who don't know, Castlevania is based on a side-scrolling game from the 80s.
I do know that.
Yeah, and then they made some other ones. There's some 3D ones.
There are some 3D ones.
There was Castlevania 64, and then they made ones for the other systems.
I do remember playing this game.
They did. But yeah. It is based on this entire world that was built. Konami, I believe, was the gaming company that... that still holds the rights. So long and the short of it is in season one, it was, it's basically a Dracula story, but he has reason to be angry. So it's Dracula v. Killmonger. Like, I'm angry, but there's a reason. And the reason is basically humans have killed his wife.
I don't know. Dracula kind of always had a reason.
But in this, you know, he's, angry at humanity.
What is a man?
For
a miserable pile of secrets.
For going after his wife and burning her at the stake like a witch. And it was basically the Catholic Church that killed her. So it's like this whole underlying thing of Catholicism in there, too.
Is anybody else a Catholic in this room?
And
feel a little bad?
Nope.
Great. Just gonna definitely stay out of this conversation.
You can transubstantiate over there if you want.
Oh,
turn some water into wine, and also
after my beliefs in here, Danny Ordinary.
So basically, the I'm just gonna keep talking like they're not even here.
We love you, Karma.
So basically, they kill his wife. He decides to like take revenge on humanity and. The other characters involved in this are basically one of the members of the Belmont family who are Trevor Belmont. But there's several Belmonts in the lore of the game. There's Simon, there's a whole bunch of other people. And basically the Belmonts are the Van Helsing. You hear me? The Van Helsing.
Helsing?
The Van Helsings of this world.
Proud of you. You did a thing.
They are a vampire vanquishing family for generations, and Trevor's basically the only one left. So by the end of season one, they haven't defeated Dracula, but they have
raised his son, who is also his mortal enemy, and his son is named Alucard, which is Dracula spelled backwards. And basically, he... Danny, did you not know that?
No, I know that.
Okay.
That's the thing.
And Alucard, who's also, like I said, gorgeous, they are... With
your
the help,
priorities here, man.
I know. With the help of a mage, who is played by a Latino, who I think is fantastic, the three of them set out to stop Dracula from basically destroying humanity. And that's where the story picks up. Alucard is not quite a daywalker, but he could be in like light shade in the daytime. He can't necessarily be in direct sunlight. He can be in light shade.
He's like any vampire that gets popular enough on Buffy.
Exactly. They just give him a lot of sunscreen and
said, get some necro-tempered glass.
There you go.
You're good to go.
And you're fine. So it's the story is interesting, and I love the first of all, I love the fact that it's 2D animated like an anime. And that is actually something else I asked Adi Shankar about when he was going to do this. He had a very, very hard time finding artists because hardly anybody does that type of 2D animation in this country anymore. So he sort of had to crowdfund. He had to really find, I mean, the animation house that he used obviously works with freelancers, but they literally had to track down people who still knew how to do this type of art because everything's done in 3D now. And I don't know. I'm a fan. I really, really like the snark between Alucard and Belmont. Like they stay fight. Like you don't know whether or not they're, it's like what Preeti's talks about it. It's like a hate man's going on between
Preeti,
the two of them.
You'd be so proud of me. I remembered.
So it's like you don't know whether or not they're going to kill. You don't know whether they're going to kill each other or kiss. You just don't, and it's fantastic.
But again, ladies and gentlemen, and those folks who identify as non-binary, remember that the primary thing was what? How pretty?
Oh, he's gorgeous. Alucard is gorgeous.
Great. Cool, cool, cool. I just want to know everybody's actual priorities here. Is that Karma sees someone who's gorgeous?
I mean, I appreciate that. He and I are very similar looking.
No, but gorgeous in an anime way.
We got the same vibe.
You are quite good looking,
sir. No, but I mean gorgeous in an anime, unrealistic drawn. I have hair that blows for no reason when there's no wind blowing kind of way.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the first episode of the second season?
It's
good. Danny.
Boy, they sure do have 8 episodes instead of 3 this time. Because that first episode, ain't nothing happened.
No, I feel
nothing,
like they...
Not
feel
a
like,
damn thing.
No, I feel like
they were just like, did you know church was bad?
Yeah.
It is!
And they sort and of recap... It. They used the first episode to sort of recap the last...
Yeah,
season.
And it was like, weird is because when it started, like, it had a recap.
It had a recap. And then
like,
they had another
like,
one.
Cool, we got it. And then they were like, what if we did another recap?
And made it
what
longer.
What if we recapped the recap
yes.
for 25 ass minutes? Yeah. So that's what they did. And
how many?
25 ass minutes. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was fine. I mean, like, I like it. I like that animation a lot. And, you know, I mean, the thing about the first season, like, yo, can we just be real? There's not a lot of video game things that translate to other stuff that I like. And I feel like that's a pretty common mentality. So, like, when they dropped the Castlevania season, I thought
I'm pretty sure the only one I've ever liked is Sonic.
Oh, all right, fair. He can really move, is my understanding, and he has an attitude, and he's the fastest thing alive.
Oh, you make me so happy, Danny.
You're welcome. Anyway, so yeah, I was really pleasantly surprised by that first 3 episodes of the first season. I was not expecting that at all. I was like, oh, these characters are characters. This villain
So Rampage didn't do it for you?
I love Rampage. Hold up. Hold up. But I like Rampage because Rampage is dumb. And The Rock is in it. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no intelligence in it except The Rock.
But
the Rock is
the
there.
The whole point of it is because The Rock is in it. That's it.
That's why
if
I watched,
you were going to that
I
movie
saw Skyscraper
for anything
too,
else
same thing.
But things being destroyed by big animal, why were you there? Were you looking for a plot?
No, it's really fun. I just, one of my favorite lines, it's a big arm. Just go with it.
Yeah.
That's a big arm.
Yeah.
Who went to that movie for a plot?
No, I'm just saying in terms of video game being translated.
Yeah,
but I mean,
that's a very different thing.
I was going to say that also translates pretty
directly.
Yeah.
Sure, I guess. But I mean, like, Castlevania came out before that, is what I'm saying to you.
Yeah,
and like,
much,
yeah.
Much.
So I was just very surprised. And yeah, like I never thought someone was going to make a Castlevania show that I would like. And I always, you know, I would want that because Castlevania is fun. But yeah, I don't know. The first episode's okay. You watch more than that. Do they approach a point?
Oh yeah, you know, the plot picks up after that, and I felt
stake,
the same way.
If you will,
ah,
oh, embarrassing for everybody.
They do, as in the video game, Dracula's castle moves. They show you how this time, and
this video game used to frustrate me for that particular reason.
Really?
And it's funny that you should say that. It's frustrating everybody in this show because, like, really, it was right there. Now we have to do this all over again.
Seriously, this is what we're gonna do.
But it is. You do get into the history of the Belmonts a bit because it's funny because I asked something else. I asked Adi was like, why did you go with Trevor's story and not Simon's? Because there was a whole other game about that. And he was like, watch season two. I was like, oh. And it's like literally like the third episode, we find out the Belmont family.
I mean,
Trevor
is he is the bad boy of the Belmonts.
He's the bay of the Belmonts.
Yeah,
also,
he is Trevor Baymont.
The dad jokes are on a roll today. It's so funny in this room.
I will say this. Richard Armitage's voice,
Richard Armitage's voice is everything.
And I just finished listening to him on the Wolverine podcast, which I loved. So it's like, yay, I get to hear him snark again. I don't know. I'm a fan, as you can tell, but I'm also an anime fan. And if you are a fan of that style of animation, you are absolutely going to love this because the fight scenes are incredible. So that's what I have to say about Castlevania.
Cool. Nailed it. All right, you want to talk about Sabrina?
I want to talk about Sabrina all day. Look,
Angelique is as excited about Sabrina as I am about Castlevania.
All right, so look, here we go. Take it downstage. Time for the soliloquy.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah. Oh, but if this too solid flesh could melt.
Oh, God.
Go ahead.
Let me explain to you how something from 1962 holds up so well, ladies and gentlemen. Sabrina is so good. So I've always been a Sabrina fan. Let's just preface this. Like, love Sabrina, love Melissa Joan Hart, because Melissa Joan Hart is really the reason why we have any live action Sabrina.
That's
a lot
true.
Of people don't realize that the Sabrina, the actual sitcom that was on TGIF, started as a movie from Hart Productions, which was run by her mom. So she did the Sabrina the Teenage Witch movie, which I forgot which.
Oh, and they
movie
did the
station.
They did the cartoon also.
So the
there's
cartoon
a,
came
a,
later.
There's an animated series.
So there
but
was
that's still
there
her,
was
right? That was still
three animated series.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah, it was still her voice.
Well, there's three animated series. The first one was her voice. The second one, though, I believe, was her sister's voice, and she played the aunties. So, and then there was a third one that came out at the same time that the second one was out. Anyway,
And then there was Clarissa Explains It All, which is not really Sabrina, but is, you know, part of the same shared universe.
What's the reason why we got Hart Productions? That's why we got Hart Productions in the first place. She made her money as a child actress, got Hart Productions, came out Sabrina Teenage Witch, the movie. That all happens, and then we get Archie Afterlife, which, if you haven't read Archie Afterlife, go read Archie Afterlife.
Archie
and what
zombies.
Year did it come out?
Actually, Archie Afterlife was like 2000.
Early 2000s, though. I mean, not exact year, but early 2000s.
But Archie, I mean, like, the thing about Archie, which I feel like we need to give a lot of credit to Archie.
Archie's been around for a minute.
Is not only has it been around for a minute, but Archie is a trailblazing show or a trailblazing comic. Always.
Yeah,
always.
Always has been.
But just,
Betty
but like,
and Veronica have always been a really big deal, have turned into really feminist characters. And that's where I was going to go
yeah.
with this.
Well, they did that. And then they were like, here's our out gay character. Mm-hmm. They also were the first company to go digital day to date. Like, so it was like the same day that a comic would come out physically, it would come out digitally the same day. Yeah. They were the first ones to do that.
I did not know that.
They did that before everybody else. They were
this
the groundbreakers.
This is why Archie is still around. Like, Archie, like, literally is. Also, there was also another cartoon version on CBS, I believe, that was like the Sabrina Comedy Hour, which was like the first one that came out in the 70s. That's like with Sabrina and the Ghostly Ghoulies.
Oh, right, right.
Like, Sabrina has been around
in a Scooby-Doo kind of way, kind of thing.
Yep.
And then that was the other thing Archie is known for, is like just how Scooby-Doo would have like the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yes.
Archie has everybody. Everybody yeah. shows up on Archie. Ninja Turtles everybody. On Archie. Everybody. Who else? Punisher showed up on Archie.
Wasn't there
who else? Yeah. The Ramones have been on Archie. There's like, you know what I mean? Like, they've had everybody. You name them. They have gone to Riverdale. That has happened.
Archie versus Predator?
Probably.
What?
I think they've done everything. I know there's Archie versus Sharknado. I know
they've done everything. That's just the thing that Archie does.
For the record, it's the Groovy Ghoulies, which makes it even better from the 70s. And the Groovy Ghoulies then got their own show. But you're right. Like, Archie is pretty amazing, and it hasn't stopped, right? So you've got this idea that out of Archie Afterlife, you got the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina in 2014, which I love the fact that that happened in 2014 and now we kind of have it as a show.
Yeah.
But the coolest thing is, and Karma, we were talking about this morning, when you first start watching the show, you don't really know what time era you're in.
It's like, it's kind of like any Batman movie I've ever seen. It's like, where are we?
And then you realize you are, because the moment Roz says intersectionality, I'm like, okay, we're in 2018.
Yeah. Yep. It's
cool.
Now.
Because that was not a word in the 60s.
No.
Great. But at least not in a
very,
like that.
But they're in a very old town.
Yep.
But it takes place now. Also,
because they're in Glendale, right?
Yes. And also, just whoever is styling Sabrina is fabulous.
Oh my God.
That coat, that outfit, everything is just.
But then when the witches come and visit her, so many spoilers. But yeah, the whole costumes are great. The fact that Salem doesn't talk, I'm kind of okay, and we've talked about this. For those who don't know, Kiernan Shipka, who plays Sabrina, is allergic to cats.
Like in real life.
Like real life, hyper allergic. Girl, I totally get you. I'm hyper allergic to cats too. I love you, Karma.
No, I know.
Wait, Karma, are you a cat?
No, I have a cat. Who looks, by the way, who looks almost exactly like Salem?
This is true.
I don't want to. If anybody's been on my Instagram, they will see, except the patch on his neck is a little paler than Salem's.
But
we're convinced he's evil occasionally. I'm kidding.
I mean, Salem has his uses, though, on the show.
I don't know why you pretended.
But I really love the show. It's great. Her friends are diverse. Harvey is not over the top handsome. He's just like boyhood cute enough.
And he's kind of Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
Thing. Yes. Like cute.
But the three things I love most about the show right now, besides the immense amount of the fact that Sabrina literally is the intersectional feminist witch that I have always wanted in my life, is that Michelle Gomez is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That
Missy from Doctor Who.
So she's so good. The fact that the aunties own a funeral home.
Yes.
Which is incredible. And Ambrose.
Yeah, Ambrose.
Ambrose is the snarky cousin I've always wanted in life.
Is he a warlock? Is he an actual
warlock?
He's a warlock. Okay.
So he's a warlock. So Ambrose is her cousin who is, as he puts it, on house arrest, stuck in the home for the last 75 years with the aunts, which for those who watch the original Sabrina kind of sitcom, he's very much Salem-like. Like, he's snarky.
Yeah, he's snarky. Like, he gives her suggestions as what things she could do.
Yeah. And then originally Salem Saberhagen, which was the name of the cat who talked in the sitcom, was actually a warlock who had become a megalomaniac and was then cursed into the cat of a body. I mean, the body of a cat. And was then the familiar for Sabrina in the show. So it's kind of like they're playing it out.
But she actually does an actual ritual and calls on a familiar who does show up. And if you guys haven't seen that scene, there is that scene of alone when Salem first shows up is already out on YouTube. And he's actually a being who shapeshifts into.
He's a demon.
He's a demon and shapeshifts into a cat.
He's a demon that serves the witch. But I also love the fact that Sabrina, in all of her feminism, goes, this is not a subservient situation. We're partners. I protect him. He protects me. And I'm like, boo, he's a demon. He's the one doing the protecting.
Yeah. Cut to the fight scene like two scenes later. But yeah, so So, it's interesting. And I was joking before the show that Sabrina doesn't have a black cat. She has a black man. But who is her cousin? Not boyfriend. And yes. Ambrose also is adorable.
Ambrose is so, so cute.
And he's also the voice of reason. There's also things. I mean, something's up with Auntie, too. I mean, one of her aunties is like,
oh, you're
whoa.
Talking about the auntie that clearly looks like she is not adjusted. Like, she, like, literally has no feelings and is completely, like, she's like, oh, great.
Well, that's who I like. You're talking about Miranda Otto.
Yeah.
Oh, she's brilliant, but she's, it's just like you look at her and you're like,
I just think her she and, feels like and, she stepped and Michelle out of Gomez coven. Take turns chewing scenery.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
what I like because they both do it. And I appreciate that because the thing is, if you're going to do a show about witchcraft, I get it. We're living in 2018. People want to do things that are realistic, and that's fine. But here's what else I like.
Witches aren't real.
I like some campy shit. That's what I want.
It's a little camp.
And Michelle Gomez is campy as hell. And Miranda Otto, I feel like, took a look at that and was like, that looks fun. I'm going to do that too.
Wait, you think she's campy?
Yes, of course.
I don't think Otto's campy. I think she's...
I think they're
damaged.
Just,
I think she's, her character's been.
No, they're just
something.
Playing it all the way over the top, having a really? having a good old time. Yeah, I think so.
I actually was like, I'm in the other parking lot. I'm like, okay. Thank you for not playing it.
I'm mad
so
she's in the
campy.
Parking lot though.
Oh, I like, think that they I actually both, was I like, think those two do.
I mean, I feel like they're. I think there are people like that that exist though.
Yeah, drama queens.
Oh well, yeah.
So. That's what they're doing. They're doing that's those characters.
But as usual,
are over the top.
I really do like Hilda and Zelda. Yeah. Every iteration, except for the one iteration where inexplicably they were stuck in the body of two teenagers. I don't get that. It was an animated series.
Yeah.
I don't get why. But once they stopped making them so witchy, bubble, toil and trouble, made them more realistic looking, I was always in the Hilda and Zelda camp.
All right.
But they're both a little loony and I like it.
So what did you think, Danny, overall of the what you've seen so far?
I think they all probably smell great. no, I mean like
really though, because they're in a funeral home.
Yeah, no, I think they're cool. I mean, like, no, they look fine. No, I mean, here's what I'll say. It was nice to get 2 stone minutes of Michelle Gomez not playing a villain, like 2 minutes of her being a sweet lady before
she,
the time was
is it,
up.
Is it Wardwell?
Or whatever, yeah, whatever yeah. The teacher's
like,
name is.
She was, she was so cute and lovely in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, for
5 minutes.
And then not anymore.
5 whole minutes.
And now she's Missy in America.
Yeah.
But I gotta say though, it did show me a little bit of range. I've never seen her be
Michelle
so
Gomez
sweet.
loves playing bad. That's the thing that she does. She's very good at playing.
Oh, she enjoys it. You can
yeah,
tell.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta watch Annabelle. Green. If you've never seen Green Wing, she's really good in that too.
Also, whatever conditioner they're using, her hair is fabulous.
Yo, when she popped out and she was like a whole new teacher in her hair, I was like, wait, is that Michelle? What?
Yeah.
Just happened. Because I recognized her with the hair pulled back and the nice little French bun. But when the hair was down, I was like.
Yeah, they didn't recognize her either.
Yeah, they were like, who?
I also like, I just like the way Kiernan Shipka is playing the role. Like, she's not constantly, I don't know what's going on. Oh, my God. I'm so scared. What's going to happen? I love how she's like, okay, you're the high priest warlock. Wonderful. I have questions.
But you know what I also like in going into that? The whole incident with the friend.
Mm-hmm.
And the friend who dresses gender nonconforming in school and this idea
she's
of
non-binary,
wanting to
but
make
she's
it.
She's not quite sure where she is yet, but she's clearly.
Exactly. And like her wanting to protect her. And like the first spell you see Sabrina do is to now I get to talk about Balky.
Is getting
to
the dance of joy.
Rid of Bronson
Pinchot's
character, who is the most unbalky ever. Like he's just so anti what we are used to seeing.
Yeah.
And it was great. I was excited. I was like, oh look, oh no. You're not a nice person. But her first spell was literally to get rid of him so that she could create a feminist club named Wicca.
The funny thing is,
to protect her friend.
That's another scene that I listened to because I have arachnophobia. So that was.
Oh, yeah. I did not pay attention to the spiders at all.
I watched it. I'm afraid of spiders.
You're better than me.
Y'all are too easily scared by things. Just be dead inside.
But
it's so
easy.
But
I love zombies and vampires, and I'm very cool on like pandemics and things are like totally viruses.
Oh, that's the thing that's right.
I can watch all those things.
There's no there's no pandemic. There's a game called Pandemic, and I'm not allowed to have it in my house because my wife is so afraid of pandemics.
Oh, any kind of
that's
pandemic
like the
movie
one
ever?
Thing.
Yeah, I probably own it.
Whoa. So you are like my wife's. Opposite number.
Yeah. Actually, she's in the other parking structure.
I believe that is also probably right. Here's how I know. You know what we have in my house? A cat. And yeah. Do you know who the cat is constantly with? My wife. So this is true. Like, y'all
the
are
cat
opposites.
Is her
I didn't know
familiar.
That.
Yeah.
That is true. Yes. Like, that's that was the one thing, like, as we watched, that's, you know, I mean, like, that. Not, it's not new that Salem my is a cat and a familiar, but, like...
My first cat was definitely my familiar. I'm not even going to front. That cat kept me out of so much trouble.
Oh, yeah. My cat is, yeah, I mean, like... Animals. Or wait, can a cat be a familiar to more than trouble. One person? I guess not really.
I mean, it could be a familiar for a coven.
I mean, like,
or,
I mean, like,
or if one person
I'm a friend,
dies.
Definitely, because we just, like, my cat and I just talk a lot.
Yes. That's
real. I come home and he's...
Your cat looks a lot like the cat I'm referring to. Remember I said my first cat looked like yours?
Yeah, yeah. No, my cat is always
he was
talking.
Very, yeah.
He got a lot to say. He always wants to eat. And then, like, we talk about it. We talk about his feelings. And I'm like, what is it you're trying to replace with food? You know, we have a lot of dialogues about these things. So
does
I
he,
like
does
so
he yeah, attack the, does he attack deadly scarecrows for you?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Well, and the funny
I mean,
thing
like,
is
here's the thing. If there's ever been a scarecrow evil attacking in my house, I have never witnessed it happen.
So maybe
but sometimes
he has.
There's some random ass messes. Sometimes he like coughs up like what looks like parts of a broom, but maybe he didn't eat the broom. Maybe he was eating the scarecrow. See now.
Well, you'll never know, and we'll never know because
I just trust.
Particularly
I take on
in
faith.
Sabrina, there's a telepathic connection, and only the witch who is the witch with the familiar understands what's going on. So
right.
Only your wife knows.
Oh,
sorry,
okay. I'll try and get the answer out of her. But just like with all the things that she does that I don't know about, I usually just trust that it's best that I don't know.
So are you two going to try and finish this whole
yes.
season?
Oh,
like,
yeah. Yes. 100%. 100%.
I was just like, yes, today. When we leave, I'm finishing it all.
I have a whole day ahead of me to go home and finish watching. And I also like the fact that, so for those who don't know, there is a big connection, obviously, between Riverdale and the director and Sabrina, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. But that director is also directing Deadly Class.
Oh. Well, the producer is Greg Berlanti, who's directing all the DC shows, Supergirl, Legends yep. of Tomorrow. I should say executive producing.
Yes.
Even Black Lightning.
But Deadly Class is Russo Brothers.
Yes.
So Deadly Class is the one exception. It's the Russo Brothers. But I'm like, I'm so much more excited for Deadly Class now. I was already excited because
you should have been excited. It's a sci-fi joint. You're required by
so first
by
of all, I just
contract.
Did a great geeksplain.
No, you have to like it. That's how it works.
I
no,
just did a great geeksplain on it, and I'm totally excited.
Class?
Yes, right. On Deadly Class. It's not coming out until like January.
Have you read all the comics? Did you read all of them?
Yes.
I'm so
I mean,
fascinated.
But also the answer is always going to be yes because we're on a podcast and why would I say no?
No.
Wow.
No, because sometimes you can read to a certain
we
extent.
We just lie all day long.
You don't.
I'm just
no,
a
because I don't know, but I don't know what your geek's flame was about. It could have been about one character.
Oh, no. It was about the beginning of it. It's about the influences and like how it really comes from 80s era. Reagan times, punk rock, the fact that you know both the co-creators brought in a lot of their own personal influences.
They clearly did.
Into doing Deadly Class, from the feel to the look, even to Marcus's journals. And then we talked about how it's evolving into a show and how there's going to be new characters. Ice-T is even supposed to be doing a voiceover in the show. And so I'm actually, yeah, you're welcome. So I'm really excited. I'm not a huge Riverdale fan. Yeah, I know. At
I'm
me.
Not either.
It's fine.
No, I'm not either. That's why I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like Sabrina, but I really like
Sabrina.
But Sabrina
is really great. And if that is any indication about how they're going to be able to pull the story of Deadly Class off the pages in a graphic novel into a show, I am 100% excited for these fight scenes, 100% excited for the snark and the very imbalanced young people that we're going to be watching
I've
in
seen
January.
Part of the first episode, and yeah, the those fight scenes.
I mean,
be
they're
good.
Being taught if to they, be assassins.
If,
that's
if they
not,
say
that's not really.
If this cut, if the cut that I saw doesn't change that much, it's they're good.
I'm also really excited for Benedict Wong in general.
Yeah.
I've literally seen from like 2000s Benedict Wong from Spirit Warriors in the UK, and it's kind of like followed his career, and I'm just like, oh, this is going to be everything that I want with Master Lin. I think it's going to be great.
Cool. Anyway, I guess we're going to all be watching a bunch of stuff.
You'll be watching it this weekend.
I mean, yeah, is that different from any other day?
I mean, well, this for me, this weekend is kind of packed. I don't know how much time I have for TV because I've got to go to my 20-year high school reunion.
I'm so sorry.
Can't wait. That's Saturday, and then Sunday is my Halloween party, which I would invite you to, except we got a cat. How allergic are you? If I vacuum the whole place, could you go?
I will unfortunately be preparing for a show in
another
place, watching more TV that I can't talk about.
Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, seriously.
All right.
I love you, Danny.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'll get around to it. I have to finish watching. I'll watch The Haunting of Hill House, and then when I'm done with that, I'll come back to Sabrina. And then when I'm done with Sabrina, I'll watch Castlevania.
Talk to Valerie, who was our guest last week.
Yeah,
talk to her about Haunting of Hill House because I know she's been watching it.
Yeah,
she can give you kids. Like I said, I've been listening. I saw that one scene. I'm like, nope, I'm good.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't even want to get off on a tear about that, but like, it is like so many shows. You got to give it a couple episodes, but boy, there is one episode that everybody talks about, and it is the one you get to the end, and you're like, nope. This is the most depressing, saddest, scariest thing I've ever seen.
I did hear something very funny about that joke.
I'm going to stick with Sabrina because it's just enough.
Yeah, that seems upbeat and fun, adorable. Everyone's hail Sataning and such.
It's sort of like,
I mean, no one's. Yeah, I'm going to stick with Sabrina. I'm not even going to argue with this one.
Sabrina is.
There is a lot of Satan in it.
There is, and it's really weird because I feel like it's just this side of campy.
Yes,
like it's not,
that's what I'm saying.
Like some scenes feel like Supernatural, and then other scenes feel like Buffy.
Yeah,
and it's they just ride that middle.
They know the world that they're acting in isn't real, but they also realize that it's real to the characters, and I think that's what I kind of was coming across as when I said it doesn't really seem campy.
Yeah, because
I feel like the sitcom was a sitcom. And it was campy. And it was supposed to be campy because it was a sitcom. This is not supposed to be funny.
Nope.
I mean,
here's the thing. I just find Michelle Gomez to be a delight. And she plays everything. Everything is
over
a little. She just has a very particular way. Anybody that spends their time emphasizing every syllable of every word in a sentence in a way that makes you think that they... are hungry for that sentence. They want the blood in that sentence in their mouth. They want it to squish and squash. And that's Michelle Gomez. That's how she is. She's chewing those words like they're gushers. You know what I mean? Like,
that was the best description of Michelle Gomez.
I love her.
That I have ever.
I was literally
hanging on every single word to see where you were going with this analogy.
Anyway, I love Michelle Gomez. I interviewed her once. We talked a bunch of shit about Donald Trump, and then we had to do the real interview. I ratted you out, Michelle Gomez. She wouldn't do it during the interview. She's like, don't ask me this stuff during the interview.
But
100%, just like most other human beings. My only Michelle Gomez meeting
was actually at New York Comic Con.
Oh.
When the Sabrina team was there, I came flying out of the green room because I was trying to get someplace, and I bumped into her by mistake, and I apologized, and I was stunned because I just bumped into Missy.
Sure.
And her handler was like, it's okay. And I'm like, it's not okay. I just bumped into a Time Lord. And can I tell you how fast Michelle turned into Missy?
Oh, yeah.
And turned on her heel. And she was like, as well you should be.
Oh, there
you
go.
And spun on her heel, and I just squealed and ran away because I am a geek. But then
we couldn't tell. Are you sure? Did you know she was a geek, Danny?
What?
Huh?
Anyway.
Well, hey, I want to know what everybody else thought of these shows.
Wait, okay. Before we forget, though.
What?
Hey.
Oh, God.
So today's a special day, Danny.
What? Okay.
It's a special day.
Why?
I was
because
because
it's Karima's born day!
Oh, no.
Happy birthday, Karima.
Happy
Thank
birthday.
Thank you. I was like, we're almost there. We're going to get out of this.
You thought we were going to...
No.
I just thought you would forget.
No. Ha. Then you never should have told me.
Yeah. Cameron's a Time Lord, too. Did you
I
know
am.
That?
I don't know why you were so afraid of Missy.
Aware. I'm 76.
Yeah, step right up. Okay, so you're a relatively young Time Lord.
I'm 76. I am. I'm a child.
You haven't even regenerated
yet. Nope. I haven't regenerated in the first...
How many regenerations have you gone through?
At least three.
Oh, yeah. Minimum. I actually have photos where people are like, that's not you.
The 1920s was a great time for me.
That's not you. The 1920s?
Yeah, it was a great time.
All right.
But I lived in New York.
I try not to do it in order. But
you do it in the opposite order?
I just kind of bop around. Anyway, hey, that's our show. Bye. The end. Hey, how about now we'll do the real ending. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you like our podcast, you subscribe to it if you didn't already, and give it 5 stars. My buddy Jordan Zacharin over at the Phantom Files begs and begs and begs for the Phantom Files to get 5 stars. I won't do that, but I will ask. Hey, if you like the podcast, throw it 5 stars, and then say like, I like this, and this is what I want more of. Do that stuff, and we'll be very grateful. And speaking of the Phantom Files, you should listen to the other Sci-Fi Wire podcast. Listen to Phantom Files, Strong Female Characters, all of the TV related ones that we've got, and then there's those Amazon podcasts too.
You have one.
I have one, and you have one too.
I do.
I have Untold Story, and you have Geeksplain. There's also a Debate Club. So there's those three. Those are available through your Alexa if you've got it, and I think now it's actually also on Google Home as well. I believe they're on both at this point. So just a veritable cornucopia of podcasting available to you.
And I love when people use cornucopia.
And yeah, that's it. Just like the Three Amigos. That's where I got it from.
My Little Buttercup.
Yeah, has the sweet. See, I like the other one. I like the Blue Shadows on the Trail.
Oh my God. Hey, where can they find you, yes. Danny, on the internet?
Would you say that I have a plethora of sweaters?
Yes. Oh, guap. I don't know. I don't listen.
Where can they find you on the internet, Anjali?
Yeah. Before we wrap up. Yeah,
you can find me at Anjali Crochet on Twitter and at @A_GELIQUE on the grams.
Nice. Karma.
They can find me, Karma the Blurred Girl, TheBlurredGurl on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all the places. And thank you for all the birthday wishes that I've gotten today.
Nice. My name is Danny Roth. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Danny Ordinary. That is Danny with one N, Ordinary also with one N. This has been Who Won the Week. Thank you for winning our week. And we'll see you again next week.